This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We stopped last week in the middle of the tafsir of one of the most important surahs of the Quran, Surah Ad-Duha. The surah which, if we understand it and apply its teachings to our lives, we can protect ourselves from depression and from anxiety. And just to let you know just how bad depression and anxiety can get, if we look at another verse in the Quran, Surah Kaf, at the very beginning of Surah Kaf, if I'm correct, it's verse number 7, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. Perhaps you might kill yourself with sadness because they refuse to believe in this message. So the verb used in that verse in Surah Kaf is بَاخِعٌ, which means to kill yourself with grief, or to kill yourself with sadness, or to kill yourself with depression. So the scholars have extracted just from that verb itself that depression can lead to death. Sadness can lead to death. And we see this happening so often in the world today. If you look at suicide, which is one of the major, major causes of death in the world today, majority of suicides start off with depression cases. So don't take depression lightly. It's a major issue. Inshallah, we have the guidance of the Quran to help us overcome it. Here in Surah Ad-Duha, a quick recap of what we covered last week. Last week, we spoke about the metaphor in the oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took at the beginning of the surah, that the surah begins by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing on the morning and the evening. When, you know, if you look at it metaphorically, it's normally the darkness before the light. You know, we always talk about the light at the end of the tunnel when people are feeling down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also begins the surah by speaking about light and speaking about the dawn and speaking about the morning and comparing it to the darkness of night. So we begin with this oath, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us very reassuring words. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Your Lord has not forsaken you, nor is he angry with you. Walal akhiratu khayrun laka minal ula. And the afterlife is definitely better for you than what you have right now. Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. And soon, definitely, your Lord will give you that which will make you happy. And we stopped over there last week. We looked at the first 5 verses of Surah Ad-Duha. We went into a detailed explanation of these 5 verses and what they have to cover. We now have 6 verses left to complete the surah. And interestingly, in verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifts the topic a bit. Still on the issue of curing depression, but now the approach is different. Verses 3, 4, and 5 dealt with being positive about the future, about being optimistic, about looking at the bright future ahead that Allah has for you. Verses 6, 7, and 8 deal with the past. So we learned last week about one of the ways to stay positive is to look at the future in a positive light, in an optimistic manner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and will grant us better and will grant us Jannah, inshallah. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to look at the past for hope as well. How? By looking at what Allah did for you in the past. That, you know, anybody who's going through any problem in the world today realize that in the past you have been through other problems. In fact, in the past, you've probably been through worse problems than what you're currently going through. But Allah helped you through it, did He not? So Allah will help you again. That's the overall theme between the next 3 verses. Alam yajidaka yatiman fa'awa. Did He not find you an orphan and then give you shelter, give you a home? وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And then He found you wandering and showed you the way. وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And He found you poor and He made you rich and content. So these 3 verses, firstly they're talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension to the rest of His ummah, are talking about the past. That listen, in the past you had to face problems, you had to face trials. Definitely anybody listening to this tafsir, think about your history. There were trials you faced in the past, and Allah helped you. So He'll help you again in what you're facing right now. Now let's look in details at the 3 things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises in these 3 verses. Again, remember these 3 verses are directed primarily to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during a time when he was feeling very sad. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Alam yajidaka yatiman fa'awa. Did Allah not find you, O Muhammad, an orphan, and gave you a home? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the earliest instant in his life where he went through a test from Allah and Allah helped him through it. And that is the test of becoming an orphan. Subhanallah, for anybody who has to deal with the death of a beloved, the death of someone who you love, understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to deal with even more. He lost his father before he was born. He lost his mother when he was just a child. He lost his grandfather when he was a child. Throughout his life, he lost his favorite uncles. He lost two of his wives. He lost all of his children, his sons and his daughters, except for Fatima radiallahu anha, who passed away just a few months after him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced death of loved ones over and over again throughout his life, but he was always patient, as we should be too. And we see, right, Allah is reminding him of the earliest test. His father passed away before he was born, and his mother passed away when he was just a small child, around the age of 6. Now you can imagine, at the age of 6, you don't have a mother or father. But Allah helped him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And when Abdul Muttalib passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him another helping hand, his beloved uncle Abu Talib. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave him to wander and to be lost as a child without any parental, anybody in a parental position in his life. Even as an orphan, Allah helped him through this. And so Allah is reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the past, that just when you were an orphan child, I helped you and gave you your grandfather and your uncle. Now too, I will help you through whatever you are going through. And by this again, there is an extension to each and every one of us. Each of us in the past had to deal with the death of a loved one. You know, I myself find this verse very relevant, because I myself lost my father when I was 8 years old, but Allah helped us through it, alhamdulillah. So, you know, when I read this verse, as if it's talking to me directly. And, you know, subhanAllah, this is the power of the Quran. Anybody who's ever lost a loved one can find comfort in this verse of the Quran. That Allah subhanAllah has promised that He will help, and that He has helped people in the past with the same situation. And it's not just Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many others throughout our history who were orphaned, and being orphaned did not lead them to falling apart, but rather it was a means of Allah to test them and raise them in rank. If you look, for example, at the life of Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, when he was a small boy, what happened to Imam Ash-Shafi'i? His father passed away. And now his mother, as a single mother raising him in Gaza, what did she decide to do? She decided, instead of getting married again, she decided to move. To move to Mecca, so that her small child can begin studying Islam. And so Ash-Shafi'i began studying Islam at a very young age. And by the age of 9, he moved to Medina to study under Imam Malik. And today we know that the Shafi'i Mazhab is the second largest Mazhab in the world. But it began with an orphan who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped by giving him a righteous mother. We see the same story repeated in the life of Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Imam Bukhari and so many other heroes in our history. Brothers and sisters, when Allah takes away something from us in this world, He replaces it with that which is better, even if we don't see it or understand it ourselves. We have to put our trust in Allah, knowing that He knows what is best for us. He knows what we need, and He knows what we can handle when it comes to the test of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in each and every one of us that He helped him as a child. He was an orphan and He helped him to overcome this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him of something else. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Now this verse is often mistranslated because ضَالًا, you know, very often carries the meaning of misguided or astray, but that meaning cannot apply to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because all of the prophets of Allah were born and on the fitrah. They were born on the fitrah. They had the correct belief from the time they were little, from the time they were born. So there was never a time in the prophet's life where anyone could say he was astray. So for someone to translate this verse as "we found you astray then guided you," this is an incorrect translation. The correct translation for this would be, you know, there'd be a variety of ways to translate it. But if you look at it historically, what it's referring to is, "we found you searching and we guided you." Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born upon the fitrah. He knew the people in his community were wrong for worshipping the idols. He knew they were wrong for their fornication and for their gambling and for all the other crimes and oppression they were indulged in. But he used to go to the cave of Hira, and he used to sit and contemplate, and he used to ask Allah to show him what to do. what to do about it. How does he go about dealing with the people? You know, he was looking for a way to help his people to get closer to Allah. And Allah guided him in terms of making him the prophet, making him the means of guidance for the rest of the ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Rasulullah of that time in his life when he was searching for a way, when he was searching for a way of social reform, when he was searching for a way to change the community, when he was searching for a way to tell people, you know, not to worship idols. And Allah guided him to that way by making him his prophet. And so this again is a reminder. If you take this verse in its literal meaning to refer to us, hey, that's how we'll translate it with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But with regards to you and me, if Allah is talking directly to you and me in this verse, He's telling us, did I not find you misguided and then I guided you? Think about it for our own lives. Was there not a point in our lives, a time in our lives where we're not practicing, where we're not praying, where we're not wearing the hijab, where we might have hated Islam, where we might not even have been Muslim? But despite that, Allah guided us, Allah showed us the right way, Allah helped us to find the truth. So isn't that something to be grateful for? Isn't that a sign that when things go wrong, Allah will help us and that Allah will be there for us? If Allah helped us in the most important of things, which is our guidance, then He will help us in that which is lesser than that. And don't underestimate this. This is the most important thing in our life. Our guidance. It's more important than anything else. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us is the most important thing in our lives. And so Allah, when He tells us, did I not find you, you know, going astray and I guided you, Allah is reminding us of His favor. He is reminding us that He is the one who guides. And if He guided us in the past, He will guide us through our current test as well and help us as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again asking us a question. And the questions of the Quran are rhetorical questions. Allah is asking us questions which have an obvious answer. Not so that we answer the question, but so that we contemplate it. So we think about it, that yes, there was a time when I wasn't guided, I remember. And Allah helped me, alhamdulillah. So this gives us hope. This gives us hope and helps us build our trust and our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 8, Allah asks one more question. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And we found you poor, or we found you without any wealth, and we enriched you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again reminding us about another test of life that many of us have faced. But let's first look at it from a seerah perspective in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what was meant by we found you poor and we gave you wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of all the times in the past that He helped him, as a reassurance that He will help him today and tomorrow as well. And by extension, Allah is reminding each and every one of us that He has helped us in the past and He will help us today and tomorrow as well if we are true believers and if we pass the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asks him a rhetorical question. Did we not find you poor and made you rich? Now again, the word aghna, rich, interestingly, many of the scholars of tafsir have explained it to mean content, based on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that true wealth is not in having lots of money, but true wealth is in being content. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was content. Now in his early part of his life, alhamdulillah, Allah did enrich him, because if you look at his seerah, he was born into one of the poorer families amongst the Quraysh. Yet, when he married Khadija radiallahu anha and he was a businessman, they became quite wealthy, alhamdulillah. So this is again Allah's favor upon him. But the more important favor than the wealth is the contentment. Because wealth without contentment can be a test and can be a curse for us as well. You know, we as South African Muslims, many South African Muslims, we have a lot of wealth, but we're greedy for more. We don't have that contentment. And that becomes a curse. That becomes a problem. That destroys us. This leads to depression. This is why you'll find so many people who are rich beyond their dreams, but they're still sad. They're still unhappy with their lives. Why? Because they don't have contentment. So in this verse, we see one of the cures of depression, and that is contentment. Be content. Say alhamdulillah. Whatever Allah has given you, say alhamdulillah. Because really, if you look at it, you know, from an Islamic economical point of view, the scholars of Islamic economics say that there's just three things that everybody needs to survive in this world. food, clothing, and shelter. And the Islamic economic system teaches us that if you have this, then you should provide for others as well, you know, instead of worrying about what you want. But unfortunately, the modern Western world has a different perspective. The modern Western world tells us, you know, get whatever you want first. Don't worry about the others. So we're more worried about our TV is too small. I want a bigger TV. Or, you know, I've got an HD TV. I want to upgrade to 3D. Or, you know, I've got the 2010 car. I need to buy a 2013 car. You know, we get so caught up in all of this. For what? What difference does it make to anyone's life, even our own, in any major way? And then we're sitting there in front of our new TV, which we bought on a loan, and we're not happy. Because every time you look at the TV, you think how much money you're owing for it. Every time you look at the car, you think how much money you're owing for it. And then you look outside and you see all the other people in South Africa who don't have wealth. And you are living this lifestyle. How can you be happy? So one of the main ways to gain happiness is to be content. So you see, alhamdulillah. Now, being content does not mean that we don't earn money. It does not mean that we don't try to upgrade our lifestyles. But what it means is we don't stoop to haram means. We don't step outside our cost of living. We don't do anything which can make life difficult for ourselves or anybody else. Rather, we say, alhamdulillah. If Allah has given me the money to buy a house, alhamdulillah. If He hasn't, then alhamdulillah, I will rent. This is the way a believer should think. If Allah has given me the money to buy a fancy phone, alhamdulillah, I will buy it. If He hasn't, then alhamdulillah, I'll buy a cheaper phone. Whatever Allah wills. We need to put that trust in Allah and be content, because Allah knows what is best for everyone. There are people out there who Allah has given them wealth, and that wealth has led them astray. So perhaps Allah wanted to protect you from that, and that's why He has kept that wealth away from you. We don't know. So we need to trust Allah, because He does know. Allah knows everything. So this is the attitude that a believer should have, the attitude of contentment, of, you know, taking whatever they have and saying, alhamdulillah, that Allah has given me this. So Allah is asking us that we are poor. And Allah made us content. He made us wealthy enough to enjoy our lives. Alhamdulillah, we should be grateful for that. And that should give us hope that Allah has helped us in the past. He will help us again today and in the future. So we see the common theme between these three verses. Using the past and past successes to grant hope for today and tomorrow. And this is also, you know, in modern psychology, a methodology of dealing with depression, that looking at your past success. Yeah, you know, they say if you're feeling down, then you should list all things that you were successful at in the past. But of course, as Muslims, Allah is giving us another perspective, that it's Allah who helped us gain those successes, and Allah will help us through today and tomorrow. While the modern theory is it's you who are successful. So we shouldn't forget the Islamic perspective, that's Allah from whose success comes. So again, this is a very important thing to do. You're feeling down, you're feeling sad, look at the good in your past, because the human mind is such that we tend to remember the bad instead of the good. So we look into our past and all the bad memories come very easily. But there's good memories hidden in there as well. Sit and think about it, and you'll think about a lot of good things throughout your life, which somehow you forgot, because you're only harping on the bad. Now, yes, maybe you were hijacked one day, but what about the other thousands of days in your life when you weren't hijacked? Allah kept you safe, alhamdulillah. Yes, maybe you got, a thousand rand got stolen from you. But what about the other tens and hundreds of thousands of rand which weren't stolen, alhamdulillah? You know, we look into the past and see all the good. Maybe you got fired from one job. But if you look deeper into your history, and you say, alhamdulillah, you know, I got a job at a point in time where I didn't even deserve one, but Allah helped me get one. You know, so shift our perspective from looking at the bad and negative in our past to the good. This is one of the overlying themes in this set of verses, that when we think about the past, force your mind to think about the good things. Go deeper into your mind, look at it and think, what good things that Allah helped me with throughout my life. And the more you remember good about your life, the more easier it becomes, you know, to be happy. And just 2 days ago, I was talking to one of my teachers, and he also mentioned the same thing. He said that when people are in depression, every day, remind them of one of Allah's favors that Allah has given them, and tell them to make sajda shukr for it. And you will see, as it builds up over the days, they have more and more things to be grateful for, and soon they start being happy again. Why? Because one of the things that lead them into depression is that they're only thinking bad. They think their life is full of negative. They think everything's gone wrong and nothing's right. So remind them that, no, there's always good. There's always good that happened to you. There's always things to be grateful for. and rarely in everybody's life you can't find this. So focus on the good in your past, and you know, ask Allah to protect you from the bad ever happening again. And this is the theme of verses 6, 7, and 8, which deal with the past. So again, if we divide Surah Duha into portions, the first two verses deal with the oath, which is metaphorically for us, you know, a sign about the light coming after the darkness. Verses 4, 5, and 6 are about the future, to think optimistically about the future. Allah will help us, and He's also going to grant us Jannah, so don't worry. Verses 7, 8, and 9 are about the past. Allah has helped you before, He'll help you again. Allah has made you successful in the past, He'll make you successful again in the future, inshallah. Now we come towards the end of the surah, the last three verses, verses 9, 10, and 11. And these three verses now deal with practical methods, with the practical methods of dealing with depression now. Right, we spoke about the future, we spoke about the past, now we're talking about now. What do you do right now to get over your depression? And the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the surah is, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَكْهَرْ. As for the orphans, don't oppress them, don't treat them badly. So what's this got to do with our depression? Well, how we treat others affects how we feel about ourselves. I want you to think about that. How we treat others affects how we think about ourselves. If you are treating people badly, then you will begin to consider yourself a bad person. You may not say it, but on the inside, the guilty conscience will eat away at you, and you begin to think, I'm a bad person. What kind of a person am I? Look how I dealt with that orphan that day. Look how I dealt with that poor person that day. These things, and the more you try to suppress them, the more they will depress you. So the first thing to do to get out of this depression is to make sure you are treating everybody else well. Because when you treat people well, you feel good. You don't believe me? Go out and try it. Go and do something good for a random person and see how good you feel about yourself. So this is again a major practical step for dealing with depression right here and right now. You're feeling sad, you're feeling down, go and help somebody. Go out there and help a random person. Give some charity, go and volunteer in an organization or something. Go do anything you can to help someone, and you will feel good about yourself. And you know, this is also one of the benefits of doing dawah, of calling people to Islam. Because when you're doing the dawah, you feel better about yourself. You feel happiness inside you. Why? Because you are sharing the best of things with people. You're helping them with their afterlife. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first tells us that when it comes to the orphans, don't treat them badly. Why? Because if you treat them badly, you're going to make yourself miserable as well. Of course, you know, from the legal perspective, treating anyone badly or oppressing anybody is haram, right? But in context of the theme of the surah, which is dealing with our depression and dealing with all of these mental illnesses, as they are called, you know, treating people badly makes you feel bad about yourself. So if you treat people well, you feel good about yourself. So that's the first practical step for dealing with things today. Be good to everyone. Be good to your wife. Be good to your husband. Be good to your children. Be good to your mother-in-law. And you'll see, you'll be a happier person, inshallah. Right? I remember one of my teachers, Yawar Beg, he says that hug your mother-in-law, either she'll have a heart attack or she'll love you, either way. So, this is one of the things you can do. Be good to people. Be good to everybody. Literally everybody. Why everybody? I mean, people might say, yeah, but what about the people who hurt me and my cousin who troubled me and my, you know, this person never speak to me for 6 years. And so what if they never speak to you for 6 years? You still be good to them. There's a hadith where Rasulullah said, whoever is good to their relatives, particularly, you know, the hadith speaks about those who don't want to be good to you, who want to cut off ties with you, but you still try to be good to them. One of the authentic hadiths on this topic mentions that Allah will prolong the life of a person who does that. Allah will prolong the life of a person who does that. Meaning, if you are good to people, if you are maintaining family ties, even with people who are against you, then you will live a longer life. And you know, when you were studying psychology last year, we learned the exact same thing. That it's been proven that people who have a lot of close relationships within their family live longer than people who are lonely and who don't get along with family members. They live longer. Right? This is part of dealing with this problem. So for أَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَكْهَرْ. As for the orphans, don't treat them badly. Treat people well and you'll see the difference it'll make in your own life and your own personality. The next verse is a very, very important principle for dealing with depression. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. As for the one who comes and asks you, don't chase him away. As for the one who comes to ask you, don't chase him away. What is this referring to? Well, the general tafsir in most of the books say that the one who asks is talking about money, the one who begs. So they translate it as the beggar. That if someone asks you for money, don't chase them away. But interestingly, some of the tafsirs have gone deeper and said it doesn't only refer to money. If someone asks you for knowledge and you have that knowledge, share it with them. Right? So anything that you have that you can contribute to society, share it. Don't hold back. And again, this is what the Quran says, and this is again what modern psychology says, that giving charity helps you to feel happy. It helps you to get over depression. It helps you to feel like you're a better person. So give a lot of charity. And you'll find this, you know, whenever you go, whether to a Muslim or non-Muslim, and ask them for methods for dealing with, you know, your depression, one of the things they'll ask you is, do you give a lot of charity? Do you help out in the community? Are you involved in any social work? Why? Because these things affect you in a major way. How do they affect you? Well, Islamically, if you are a Muslim who is not giving charity, then you are a miser, right? So this is something which is displeasing to Allah. We were looking at, you know, as for the person who asks you for money, don't chase them away. أَمَّا سَائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And from here we take one of the very important principles of dealing with depression, and that is to give back to the community. When you do for others, you will not be depressed. And you know, interesting, I'm reading an article on the internet right now which says that depression and loneliness go hand in hand and can create a negative downward spiral. And you know, the author goes on to say that if you stick around if you volunteer at any organization and you stick around long enough, you'll begin to figure out why volunteers are almost never depressed. Why? Because, you know, people who are always giving to society out of their own free will, they feel that goodness about themselves. And Allah puts that in your heart. Allah puts that in your heart because you are doing good. If you are doing good for people, if you are taking care of people, then Allah will take care of you. You know, that's the whole philosophy behind it. That if you are taking care of others, then Allah will take care of you. So if you want to get over any problems, if you want to feel good about yourself, go out there and give to society, inshallah, with the sake of Allah, and you will see the difference in your life. And we come to the final verse of the surah, verse number 11. فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for that which Allah has blessed you with, talk about it. Talk about the blessings of Allah. Now, you know, the primary meaning of this verse is, as for the message of Islam, go out and tell people the message of Islam, which means do da'wah. And we already spoke earlier about how doing da'wah can help you feel better about your own self and help you, you know, build your own self-confidence and self-esteem. But there's a deeper meaning here, because Allah uses the word ni'mah. Very rare for this word to be used in the context of da'wah in the Quran. If you look at it deeper, Allah is saying, as for the blessings of Allah, the ni'mah of your Lord. And again, you know, we look at the choice of words. Allah says, Rabbika, your Lord, making it, you know, personal, that these are the blessings that your Lord has given you. Talk about it. And again, you know, we go back to, how do you deal with depression? Start talking about all the good things in your life. Talk about it. Think about anything good that Allah has done for you. And talk about it. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me this. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me that. And the more you talk, and the more you realize that Allah has blessed you with so many things, the easier it becomes to get over your current problems. So this is a very, very important principle. And this is to look at the blessings that Allah has given you. Look at it. Think about it. And talk about it. Instead of talking about your problems, talk about Allah's blessings. And again, you know, with this verse, don't misunderstand it to mean that you boast about what Allah has given you. No. But you talk about it in a way of consoling yourself and helping yourself to realize that life is good. Alhamdulillah, it's not all doom and gloom. So, subhanAllah, we've reached the end of Surah Ad-Duha, sadly, and we're going to go through a recap of all the main principles that we learned from the Surah for dealing with the problems in our lives. Because, again, this Surah, It's relevant, and it'll be relevant until the Day of Judgment. That is the power of the Quran. And today, I feel it's more relevant than ever because we're living in a time where depression is one of the most common problems in the entire world. And as I mentioned right at the beginning, last week, the reason for this is we've disconnected ourselves from Allah. We've disconnected ourselves from Allah. You know, if you're worshipping money, meaning money is your main priority in life, or you're worshipping yourself, you're only worried about pleasing yourself. If you're doing any of these things, you can't be happy. You can't be happy. Happiness comes from the pleasure of Allah. If Allah is pleased with you, you will be happy too. So we need to change our mindset to a mindset of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that what duha wa layli iza saja, the dawn and the night when it is still, that always after the night there comes the dawn. Always after the night there comes the dawn. Meaning after the darkness you are in, the test you are in, there will come a time of ease. There will come a period of light and hope. And remember that whatever you're going through in life, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَّهُ, your Lord has not forsaken you, nor is He angry with you. You know, the problems of life are not because Allah is angry. It's not because Allah is punishing you. It's a test. And Allah tests those whom He loves. So look at it in a positive life. Allah is testing you because He loves you. This is in the hadith of Rasulullah said, when Allah loves someone, He sends them tests. Why? Because tests make you a stronger person. And Allah wants you to be the best. So He puts you through the test of life. And remember, no matter what happens to you in this world, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, know that definitely the afterlife and paradise is better for you than what you have right now. Make that a principle in your life. That your focus, your goal, your vision is Jannah. And because of that, you are willing to go through whatever it takes in this world to get to Jannah. And nothing is going to put you down. Nothing is going to depress you. Nothing is going to stop you from getting to Jannah. Because you know that Jannah is khair. It is better than what we currently have. And understand, وَلَسُوفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that soon definitely, your Lord will give you that which will make you happy. Soon. Allah is promising you. This is Allah's promise that soon He will give you that which will make you happy. So don't stress. Have some sabr and make dua and put your tawakkul in Allah and have hope in the promise of Allah that soon He will give you that which will make you happy. And then reflect on the past and remember, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, did Allah not find you an orphan and give you a home, give you a shelter, give you a family? Did He not help you out in the past? وَجِدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and He found you wandering and He guided you? Did this not happen to each and every one of us, that there were times in our life where we were going astray, where we were falling apart, where we were on the wrong path, and Allah showed us the right way, He guided us? وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and He found you poor, and He gave you wealth and contentment. Was there not a time in your life where you were unemployed, or you had lost your job, or your parents had lost their job, or something had happened, and after having sabr, Allah opened the doors for you all again? Did this not happen in the past? فَأَمَّا الْيَدِيمَ فَلَا تَكْهَرْ, so whenever you see orphans or anyone else who's, you know, regarded as low in the society, whether it's an orphan or someone who is poor or someone who is, you know, suffering from any problems, wala tanhar, don't treat them badly. Don't treat anybody badly. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, and when someone asks you for something, don't chase them away. Don't chase them away. Don't treat them harshly. Again, if someone asks, if you don't have anything to give, at least give a kind word. In Islam, to politely tell someone, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give you, is better than to give them wealth and treat them badly in the process. You know, you give a person a 5 rand and you tell them, you know, you start swearing them and calling them names. That's not from Islam. You rather politely decline. So don't treat people badly. Give. If you have, if you don't have, then at least give a good word. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, and as for whatever Allah, whatever your Lord has blessed you with, talk about it. You're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling sad, talk about Allah's blessings. Stop talking about the problems, stop talking about the tests, talk about the blessings, you will feel better. And definitely the blessings are there. If you can't remember them, if you've forgotten them, ask somebody else to remind you of them. If you're feeling so down and sad that you can't think of anything in your life which is good, ask somebody else to remind you of it. Tell them, you know, tell me something good about my life, and they will show you 101 things in your life that you should be grateful to Allah for. And this will, inshallah, help us to be stronger. So this surah, alhamdulillah, we've reached the end of the tafsir of the surah. And, you know, the good news is the next surah, Alam Nashrah, deals with the same theme. Right, the next surah has the famous verse in Inna ma'al usri yusra, after difficulty comes ease. So the same theme is continuing on into the next surah of hope and optimism and dealing with depression. And the same topic will continue with next week when we look at the tafsir of surah Alam Nashrah, which is a very important surah, just like surah Duha, for getting over our problems and being strong. And a final reminder to each and every one of us is to pray 5 times a day. Right? Because Allah says, Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah. Twice in the Quran, He says, Ista'inu, seek assistance from Allah with sabr wa salah, and salah. You can't do just one. Right? Many of us think we make sabr, but we won't wake up for fajr. It doesn't work like that. You have to pray your 5 daily salah if you want Allah's help. So this is a reminder once again to pray 5 times a day. This is, you know, the minimum we need to do to stay close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do this, then inshallah, you know, Allah's help will come. And whenever you are down, whenever you are feeling sad, remember Surah Duha and follow the instructions mentioned therein of being optimistic about the future, remembering whenever Allah helped you in the past, being good to people, serving society and giving charity, and talking about Allah's blessings. If we do these things, then inshallah, we can live happy lives and we can protect ourselves from falling into sadness. And we end with the dua that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to make, A'udhu billahi min al-hammi wal-gham. I seek protection in Allah from depression and anxiety. Very famous dua found in the authentic books of hadith. I seek protection min al-ham, depression, worried about the past, wal-gham, and anxiety, worry about the future. We ask Allah to protect us from all forms of worry and sadness and depression, and to keep us strong and healthy and happy throughout our lives, and to make us from those who are content with the will of Allah, and who are content with what Allah has given us, and who are patient when Allah tests us, and who become stronger, bi-iznillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to protect us, and to make us from those who are closest to Him in the afterlife. That we will conclude with today's tafsir. Stay strong. Remember the words of Surah Duha. Inshallah, next week we will look at another beautiful surah on the same topic, Surah Alam Nashra. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.